Welcome to episode 12 of Cinema Crespo Diso. I am your host, Christopher Crespo, film critic extraordinaire, fantastic writer, not so much on the engineering side of podcasting.
Yeah.
Here's my host, Drew Sikogburn. Drew, how's it going?
It's going okay. I'm having this weird sensation of deja vu.
This weird sense of deja vu.
It's weird. It's strange. Maybe it's like I've done this before.
Maybe because we did this like 6 hours ago.
Perhaps.
6 or 7 hours ago.
And that could be. It could be one of the reasons.
And then something, a little snafu, technical difficulties.
Take two. Here we go.
Take two of Cinema Crespo Diso. Crespo Diso after dark. Crespo Diso after dark. Because it's after dark. It's nighttime. It's nighttime.
It's like 11 o'clock at night.
In the Crespo Dome.
And nothing's going to be even crazier because the spotlights are going to be on us.
The spotlights are on us. The Coast Guard's out roaming around wondering what's this yacht doing out there in international waters.
At 11 o'clock at night on a Sunday. It's Easter.
It's international waters. On Easter. It's still
on
Easter.
Easter. Yeah,
it's
it
still
is.
Easter. So how's it going, Drew?
It's like I said, it's going. It's
been kind of a crazy day here.
It's been here at the Crespo Diso Studios.
It's been a crazy
in
day.
International waters. We had.
I don't know how much. Yeah, we had some crazy things. I don't know how much we can say.
No. We'll just leave it at that. Some crazy things went on.
You can go to our Instagram show handle Cinema Crespo Diso. You can see,
or if you follow us on Twitter,
or follow us on Twitter.
I'm sure you may or may not know
what some of those crazy things that were going
that
on.
We're talking about
part of the reason why there's such a big gap between
take
1 hour and take two.
Exactly. We had some things going on in the studio.
So if either Drew or I sound a little loopy tonight, it's because it's late. We've been drinking steadily.
Yes,
and then it's just we're a little punch drunk.
It's okay. It's been a long day, but a good one.
And you know what? When this is all said and done, it's not even over.
So nope.
We gotta watch
Game of Thrones. Oh man,
it's calling to us now.
Oh, I can hear it already.
So after the show, we'll turn the boat around. I'll head back to the mainland, and we'll watch Game of Thrones.
It's gonna be awesome.
It is gonna be awesome. Heard something about giants on the Twitter.
So did I.
And then I had to stop looking.
Yep, because I don't want to know anymore.
All right, well, man, definitely feeling a little slower.
It's okay. It's just
I want to take my time with this one.
All right,
but yeah, we're gonna get into the show. Get into episode 12. You guys, if you've been listening for a while, you know the format. We got the box office review, and that's where we review movies along with the whole box office analysis BS. And then we got the new movies coming out, and then the Crespo Disco. And but first, the first thing we always do, the good old Netflix instant pick of the week.
Oh, I've got the Crespo Diso Randomizer 9000 right next to me.
So yeah, if you don't mind, Drew, and we're doing a whole new one. We did one earlier, but we're doing a whole new one because that's how it goes. So here we go, Drew.
The Warriors.
The Warriors, really? I just published an article about that this week on ChrisCrespo.com, one of my book-to-film adaptations.
Is it up?
It is. It's The Warriors is still up on the
Warriors
Netflix Instant.
Warriors, come out and play.
So let me wax poetic up. Poetic a little bit about the Warriors here.
Can you dig it?
Oh, man. From 1979, The Warriors is a fantastic Walter Hill movie. Walter Hill's the guy. The movie had just come out with Stallone. Bullet to the Head. That's old Walter Hill. The Warriors is young Walter Hill. It's a adaptation of a book about a street gang in the 70s and turf wars and other street gangs in New York City. It's a crazy movie. It's a crazy action movie.
I love how all the gangs are dressed up in Halloween costumes.
Oh, they all are themed out. I guess that was the thing in the 70s. If you're in a gang, everyone has to have a costume going on. The Baseball Furies are dressed all in baseball gear, and the Turnbull ACs. They were kind of like skinheads,
kinda.
But there were a bunch of black guys in that group, so they weren't racist skinheads. No. They were just crazy people. The Gramercy Riffs. That one was just a bunch of black guys.
Yep.
So that one's along ethnic lines. The Orphans, that was the ragtag group that...
They all looked homeless.
And the Orphans, they had t-shirts that they had really crappily, like they put Orphans on all their shirts, like homemade.
Yep.
Oh man, those guys were sad. And the Warriors, though. The Warriors are badasses.
They all had their vests.
They had their vests. They're awesome war vests with the patches on them and stuff. Yeah, they're definitely the coolest. The coolest gang of them all. Big fan of that movie. Love that movie. I mean, I think a lot of people know about the Warriors. But
they should.
If you don't know about it, you haven't seen it in a while. As a matter of fact, the Warriors is one of these movies where I saw when I was really young, you know. I was actually at my grandparents' house, and Grandpa was watching TV. This was years ago, and he just stops on a channel, and there's just some random movie playing. I remember a bunch of guys being chased around by dudes with paint on their faces and baseball bats. Like, this is a weird movie, and I thought I would never ever see it again, and maybe it, so much time passed, I thought maybe I dreamt it all up. Maybe it was a figment of my imagination.
No, it wasn't.
No, and then I saw it. I was like, oh, this is a real movie, The Warriors, like when I was older. And then I watched it. I was like, oh, this movie's great.
It is.
This is great. I love it.
They had a halfway decent video game based on it.
I actually really liked that video game.
Rockstar.
Rockstar knows
And Rockstar makes pretty good games. Even their bad games are good games.
Are entertaining. The problem I had with the Warriors video game was I just got to a point where I got stuck, and you have to control the whole gang, and it's hard to keep track of everyone, and you know, I don't know, it was like a little too involved. It was almost a little too much.
Uh-huh.
But that was a fun game.
No, it was. I'm just a fan of most Rockstar titles. LA Noire, kind of.
Yeah, that one.
The only thing that I took
I like
away
the
from
idea
that,
behind it.
I loved the idea behind it. The rendering of LA was awesome.
I love the soundtrack.
The soundtrack is great, and also the motion capture they used. They actually used like real actors.
Yeah.
So like, there was some sort of like emotional pull.
Yeah, that was the whole thing with that game, that they're trying to make it more cinematic and. When for the cutscenes, when the characters are talking, it looks like it's a movie or something. And you know, they did all right. I think they did a pretty good job. But I mean, for a video game, yeah, they did better than most when it comes to telling a story and developing characters and stuff. But that game, though, I got 75% of the way through, then I just stopped.
Let me guess. You got through murder, and then you, all of a sudden you got demoted to arson.
I got through to arson. Once you get past arson, you start becoming other people. You control other characters, and then I was like, ugh.
See, I never even got to arson.
Then I got tired of the story.
Because there was this giant crescendo in the game. After murder, I mean, you find the fucking Black Dahlia murderer.
Yeah.
And then
you get busted on the arson.
And then you get busted on the arson. It's just like, what's going on?
Yeah, I don't know. That's part of the problem with a video game, that they want to rely so heavily on the story. Yeah, you better have a damn good story.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I stopped being interested in it. And the thing with a video game, you have plenty of time to stop being interested in your story, because it takes so long, so many hours to get through it, you know? Mm-hmm. It's got to be constantly compelling if that's what you're going for.
Yeah.
They definitely weren't going for shoot 'em up.
Nope.
So, how do we... Man, we totally went off on a whole...
Tangent.
Tangent on LA Noire. No, it's cool. It's cool. That's the Crespo Diso, man. It's the power of podcasting.
Yeah, man.
Talk about whatever the hell we want. So, the Warriors.
Warriors.
I want to write that down. Here's my pen. Whoa.
Don't spill your beer.
I'll spill my beer. Definitely can't spill that beer. We're almost out of them. The Warriors come out and play, yay. Warriors. All right, well, excellent pick. Good job, Drew.
Thank you.
And let's get into the box office review for the weekend.
All right, box office review for the weekend. Starting off at number 19, we have The Place Beyond the Pines.
Yes.
Which had a weekend gross of $270,000. For total gross of $270,000 and a budget of $15 million.
On four screens.
Yes, I was about to say that's the impressive part.
$270,000
on four screens.
Four screens. Two in L.A., two in New York, most likely. Man, I really want to see this movie so bad.
So do I.
It's going to take weeks to get here now.
It is.
I know. If it's only in four screens now, it's going to take forever to get here.
Whatever. It'll probably come here. If it doesn't come to, you know, Winter Park, maybe the NZN will get it.
Focus Features, I see that being more of a Regal Winter Park type of thing. It'll be there. They'll push it to like 500 screens in a couple of weeks, and depending how it does there, maybe they'll get it to 1,000 or 1,500 screens. I don't see it being on more screens than that. It might make like $10 million total. And how much did it cost to make?
$15 million.
Yeah, so it, it might not even make its money back. You know, to be honest, movies like this, you never know with movies like this.
Exactly.
It could break out. People would be like, oh, this movie's
this
great.
Amazing. And everybody should go see it.
And all the Gosling fans come out, and Bradley Cooper. Are there Bradley Cooper fans?
Probably.
And all the Bradley Cooper fans come out, and like, oh, my goodness, this is a good movie. So, I don't know. I'm dying to see it.
So am I.
Dying to see it. One day.
I'm a big fan.
One day. All right. What else we got? What's going on?
All right. Number six this week, we have The Host, which had a weekend gross of $11 million for a total gross of $11 million and a budget of $40.
Not bad. Yes.
From
not
the makers of Twilight.
You know, I mean, the Twilight movies open. I think even the first one opened to like 30 or 40 million. So they can't be too happy. They can't be too happy with $11 million opening weekend. It'll make its money back, but then again, I don't think this is... The Host was just a one-off book by Stephanie Meyer.
Yeah.
It's not like a whole series or anything.
Well, I don't know. It's a little sci-fi-y. I don't think the chicks like the sci-fi.
But it's for the chicks, though.
I know, but...
Well, I mean, do chicks generally dig horror stuff like vampires and werewolves? Not really, but Twilight's made for them, so...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Who knows? Maybe the word just needs to get around.
Oh, ladies, you need to go see this freaking movie.
Well, maybe the word got around that it's not a very good movie because the reviews are not good. So.
Well, then why did the Twilight movies make so much money? They're not very good movies.
Oh, conundrum. Interesting. I don't know. I guess maybe the book wasn't as popular. I have no idea how popular the book was.
Me neither. Nor do I care.
It must have done okay enough for them to make a whole freaking movie. Give them $40 million to make this movie from the writer of Twilight, Stephanie Meyer.
Comes The Host.
Go to Netflix and watch the South Korean The Host.
Yes.
The monster movie
do
from
it as
six
fast
or
as you
seven
can.
Years ago. That's a great The Host.
That's a better host.
Don't watch This Host. Watch That Host.
All right. Number five this week, we have Oz the Great and Powerful, which had a weekend gross of $11.6 million for a total gross of $198.3 on a budget of $215.
Add to that $214 million in international bucks.
That's a bunch of money.
You're at $412 million worldwide.
We're coming close to $500 million.
This should get to like $700, $800 worldwide when it's all said and done. Disney these days, when they make a movie like this that costs $200 million, though, they're shooting for $1 billion every time out. So if this doesn't make $1 billion, someone at Disney is disappointed. But it might get to like $700, $800 at this rate, and it's an okay movie.
I didn't see it. I'll catch it on
Redbox.
Yeah,
it's a Redbox movie. It's very Redboxy. All right, what's next?
Number four this week, we have Olympus Has Fallen, which had a weekend gross of $14 million. Total gross of $54.8 on a budget of $7.
So this will get to like 80, 90 total. This one is the type of movie that'll make its money direct-to-video. And
should be starring Steven Seagal.
Should have been made 1991. With Steven Seagal as the badass Secret Service guy that saves the day.
And who's the bad guy?
The bad guy in 91. Well, in this movie, they're North Koreans. So in 91, they probably would have stuck the Soviets, even though it's a little after the Cold War. So Jürgen Prochnow he was in Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Okay.
He would be the bad guy. There's another role that needs filling. The president. Who would play the president in 1991?
White guy.
Clint Eastwood.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know, but
he's never played a president.
Yeah, but he's too much of a badass. Like, he doesn't.
Well, Aaron Eckhart was kind of a badass. That was kind of the point in the movie, too.
If Steven Seagal is,
someone less bad. Sorry, so yeah, someone less badass.
If Clint Eastwood is the president, I don't believe that Steven Seagal is protecting him because.
1991. Gene Hackman.
Okay, I'll believe that.
All right, Gene Hackman's the president. Steven Seagal's the guy that has to save him. And Jürgen Prochnow from The Keep and Beverly Hills Cop 2 is the bad guy.
Olympus Has Fallen, circa 1991.
That's a good movie.
Yes.
Olympus Has Fallen, 2013.
The remake.
Nah, the remake's not so good. The original's much better. Would have been better. Yeah, screw this remake of the original in my brain. It worked out better the first time around. All right. So, yeah, that's another Redbox movie, if you ask me.
All right. Number three this week, we have Tyler Perry's Temptation, Confessions of a Marriage Counselor.
Now, when you say that, before we move on, because that's the full title, can you say that title one more time and read it how it's written?
Tyler Perry's Temptation.
Uh-huh.
Confessions of a Marriage Counselor.
Because there's a pause in there.
Well, because there's colons.
Oh, there's a colon. So it's a colonated title.
Yes.
Man, Tyler Perry. It's not enough for it to be Tyler Perry's Temptation.
Nope, it's Tyler Perry's Temptation, Confessions of a Marriage Counselor. Sure eventually there'll be Tyler Perry's Temptation, something else.
Something else. Yeah, that's what he's doing. Oh, man, he's so good. He is so good.
Yeah, okay.
Much did it make?
It made $22.3 million for total gross, $22.3 on a budget of...
Well, Tyler Perry movies, I know the budget's not there, but they generally cost like $20 million bucks.
All right, so it's made its money back.
Yeah. Oh, they always... His movies
hands
always make fist. Money. His movies always... It'll get to 60 or 80 million. All his movies make that much. If you can slap a Madea on that title... That's another $20 million you can add on top of it for sure.
Tyler Perry's Madea's Temptation.
Confessions of a Shopaholic or whatever it was. Kim Kardashian's in this movie.
Yeah.
So that makes Tyler Perry a bad person?
Yes.
For her in a film?
Does she speak?
Yeah, I see in the trailer, she's like, she does a speaking role and everything.
Okay.
And she's like,
that's even worse.
And she's like, oh my God, it's like stuff's happening or something like that.
Like, oh my God, like eat some more Valium.
Oh my goodness. That makes Tyler Perry a bad person for putting Kim Kardashian in one of his movies.
Agreed.
There was something else I wanted to say about this, but...
About Tyler Perry's Temptation, Confessions of a Marriage
Counselor. I love that. I love the break in there and the audacious... That's an audacious title. Audacious.
It is.
It's out there. It's full of himself.
All right, number two this week, we have The Croods, which had a weekend gross of $26.5 million, total gross of $88.6 on a budget of $135.
Holy crap. Add $138 million international.
Go Fox.
$227 million worldwide for Fox Animation.
Good job, guys. You made some money. Not as good as Pixar.
No. I mean, storytelling-wise, no. I think the reviews for this are okay. Nothing through the roof. Not like a Pixar movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Or not even like Wreck-It Ralph. Wreck-It Ralph got great reviews. The Croods is like, eh, whatever. But it made enough money. It's going to make enough money for there to be a Croods 2.
Yeah, definitely.
Because
and
it worked
will
for
be a Croods 2.
It worked for Ice Age. That's another. That's a Fox animated thing. Ice Age.
Mm-hmm.
Whew, those things make so much money.
Because it's got Ray Romano as a dopey elephant.
Well, not just that, they have that. Oh, yeah, of course, Ray Romano, he's an animated box office dynamo is what he is. But internationally, those movies make more money. Each new sequel, the international audience has grown to the point where most of its money now comes from foreign markets.
Oh, interesting.
And those markets, it's not even like they're hearing Ray Romano and Dennis Leary, because it gets
all
redubbed. Yeah, so... I wonder if they use stars from like
local stars. I'm sure.
Yeah, like when they put it on China, they use Chinese film stars.
When they do it in France, they use French. When they do it in England, I mean, in England, they probably use the American stars because of cross culture stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sure Germany, Poland, Russia, stuff like that.
That's gotta help. So that's the Fox Animation model. That's probably what they're gonna do with the Croods.
Well, good for them.
It's going to make a bunch of money.
All right, and number one this week, we have G.I. Joe Retaliation, which had a weekend gross of $41.2 million, total gross of $51.7 on a budget of $130.
It's already at $132 million worldwide, G.I. Joe Retaliation.
All right, well, it makes money back, kind of.
And we saw G.I. Joe.
That we did.
We saw it.
It was okay.
It was a G.I. Joe movie.
It was.
It was a movie based on
there were, line. I mean, compared to the last one, what do you think?
You know, because the first G.I. Joe, Rise of Cobra.
G.I. Joe. The Rise of Cobra.
Directed by the guy that did The Mummy, Stephen Sommers, and Van Helsing, a terrible, terrible filmmaker this guy is. G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra, at least that one felt like a cartoon. It was cartoony and it was ridiculous.
It didn't have the lasers and everything, but close enough.
It was over the top and it was fun. This one takes itself way more seriously and it's grittier and, you know, people are dying.
Channing Tatum gets blown up.
Channing Tatum gets exploded like 15 minutes into the movie, 10 minutes into the movie. That's why in the trailers, if you watch all the G.I. Joe trailers...
Lots of Channing.
What?
I said lots of Channing.
No. In the trailers, he's usually gone 30 to 45 seconds into the trailer. Because, you know...
He's gone 15 minutes into the movie.
So it's kind of proportional. You know, I guess they don't want to cheat that. Marketing loves the... They love the lie. Of course they love to cheat about that stuff. I don't know. I actually prefer the... I don't even like the first one. I don't even like the first G.I. Joe movie, and I still prefer it over the one that we saw today because it was just too dour, man. They didn't have enough fun. Cobra Commander, like Joseph Gordon-Levitt's Cobra Commander. He's over the top and crazy, and he's chewing the scenery, and he's talking all wild. And this one, Cobra Commander, is just some boring dude.
In a silver mask.
And I don't know, the mask is cool, but he's very monotone. And I don't know. And they didn't give Cobra Commander anything to do. He's their big bad guy. He's their Megatron. He's their Bill the Butcher.
Yeah, but he doesn't do anything. He's just kind of like the overseer. You have to deal with all the other douchebags first.
He's just the overseer.
You know, like...
Boring.
Yeah.
Boring. Like Ray Stevenson.
Exactly.
Had to deal with him.
Firefly.
Storm Shadow?
Yeah, Storm Shadow. Whoever he is.
These names.
The White Ninja dude.
The Rock played... When you say White Ninja, you're not talking about Michael Dudikoff, right?
No.
You're talking about a ninja dressed in white.
Yes.
Okay. The Rock plays
Roadblock.
Sometimes they call him Block for short.
Yep. Some random white guy plays Flint.
They couldn't get a white guy that people knew. They had to get a random white guy.
I guess.
Who the heck was that guy?
The random white guy.
Same thing with the girl. Random girl.
Yep. Random girl.
Couldn't get someone. You gave all the money to The Rock. You couldn't get actors that we could. Nope. Recognize
and
you know?
Channing Tatum for a little bit.
Even the first one had Marlon Wayans.
I mean, and
Quaid,
the guy who plays Zartan, like you only
Arnold Vosloo.
You only see his actor face
for like a second,
literally like 30 seconds. Like he only had like 30 seconds of face time in the whole movie.
Yeah, that's right. And then the guy that played the president had to do double duty.
Exactly.
I wish I could remember that guy's name. That guy's a good actor. The guy that plays the president.
He was okay.
I like that guy. And Arnold Vosloo is the Zartan. And yeah, you're right. I didn't even think about that. You never see the dude's face.
At the end, you see a digital representation once.
Yeah.
When he kind of cuts his face, but that was totally digital.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he falls down in a suit.
I wonder if
and stares forward.
I wonder if he
and
got
probably
paid.
Collected a wicked paycheck for it.
Yeah, I was about to say. I wonder if he got paid like for a full movie for you know he's barely in it, but it's like a full role. Weird. Yeah, so G.I. Joe, I would say
yeah, Redbox it.
You say Redbox, I say like wait for HBO or TBS, something like that, TV. Just wait for free TV in general. Don't even bother driving to the Redbox, because then you got to drive back to the Redbox. There's two trips. People forget about that second trip. Got to take the movie back, you know? You save it for an extra day. All of a sudden, that movie is $2.40. Oh, now you really wasted. Plus the time. Don't forget the time. So, I guess I'm not a big fan of the G.I. Joes. All right, let's see what new movies we got coming out.
Well, we have Evil Dead coming out this week.
Oh, yeah, in theaters. Right. And that's it. And nationwide, I think, in wide release. Because I don't
we
think...
a small release of that Trance. Danny Boyle movie, Trance.
I don't think Trance is going to be a wide release. That's going to be like a Place Beyond the Pines limited release type of deal. But that one looks good, though.
Yes, it does. It's James McAvoy, Rosario Dawson.
From the director of movies like Trainspotting, 28 Days Later, Slumdog Millionaire, 127 Hours. I mean, the guy makes a lot of different, very interesting movies.
It's all dubsteppy.
The trailer's all dubsteppy. I wonder if the movie's going to be all dubsteppy.
I don't know. Dubstep and action movies seems to be like the new hot thing.
Yeah, well, this isn't really an action. It's more of a thriller. Psychological thriller.
Yeah, it seems to be a lot of action in it. At least the trailer.
Well, there's some action. We'll see. Jurassic Park 3D
in the third dizzle.
That's really cool.
I really wish that this movie was just coming out right now, or wipe my memory clean of ever seeing it, I can go see it in 3D for the first time and be like, "Oh my god, that was awesome!"
I remember seeing Jurassic Park in theaters
and
the first
being
time.
Like, "Oh my god, that was awesome!"
Yeah. That movie blew me away.
In the third dimension, I have a feeling you'd probably have the same effect.
It'll probably look pretty cool. Yeah. I would like to try to see it. It's probably only going to be in theaters for like a week, though, because I'm pretty sure it's going to be on Blu-ray the following Tuesday.
The Blue Rizzle.
Speaking of DVD, on DVD this Tuesday, John Dies at the End.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, a fun movie.
It's fun
a cool,
movie.
It's a cool movie. And that's pretty much it for new movies.
Yeah.
There's a big Marvel box set, 10 discs, 6 movies.
Of, including?
You know, Avengers, Iron Man.
So it's the Avengers
Iron
stuff?
Man 2, all the Avengers stuff.
No Spider-Man?
No, because this is Marvel. Spider-Man is Universal. We're talking about films.
Oh.
We're talking about the studios. Because Spider-Man still belongs to Sony Universal.
Okay.
Their contract works out so that they have the property as long as they use it. So, you know, it's like a use it or lose it clause.
So we're going to be seeing a lot of Spider-Man movies.
They're going to keep cranking them out. So in order to keep their rights, you know. Which one did they just do? Was it Ghost Rider? Fox tried to put together a Fantastic Four movie really, really quick. Was it Fantastic Four? No. Silver Surfer? They just lost the rights to something.
I was about to say, because I've heard rumors of a Fantastic Four reboot.
They are doing a Fantastic Four reboot. The guy that did Chronicle is doing Fantastic Four. Josh Trank, which is cool.
Let's see.
Was it Ghost? No, Daredevil. Daredevil. I knew it. Daredevil was the one that they were... Fox, they let the rights lapse on Daredevil, so now they can't make Daredevil movies anymore. That went back to Marvel. So now Marvel has a Daredevil character again. Well, so if a Daredevil movie comes out again, that's going to be a Marvel product.
And it won't be starring Ben Affleck.
Lord, no. No, unless he directs it. In which case...
I wouldn't mind seeing that. I'd see a Daredevil movie directed by Ben Affleck, just not starring him.
So it's weird how that works out with comic book properties and stuff when it comes to movies. Sorry, there you go. That's the first half of the show. Let's get into the Crespo Disco. Listen to a little bit of music. This is from a film, one of our favorite films. Hope you enjoy it. Figure it out while you're listening to it. We'll let you know what it is when we get back. If you have some original music that you want to hear in the Crespo Disco, hit us up. CinemaCrespoDiso@gmail.com. We'll play your stuff, man. We'll plug you. We'll say, hey, listen to these cool guys. We'll play. I mean, who doesn't want that?
Somebody listens to this show, so somebody will hear your music.
People do listen. People do listen, and I know people who do make music. So hey, let's put these groups of people together.
Yes.
That's what we're here for.
Start an army.
But in the meantime, enjoy this song, and then we're gonna be back on the other side with the Crespo Dome. So we'll see you there. You're listening to Cinema Crespo Diso. Hey, this is Chris. I just wanted to thank you for downloading the show and checking us out. Make sure to tell all your friends, and when you're done telling all them, make new friends so you can tell them about Cinema Crespodiso. Also, make sure to tell them about ChrisCrespo.com. A lot of cool stuff over at ChrisCrespo.com, such as new reviews of movies like Stoker and Spring Breakers. If you do or don't know what those movies are, you should go to my website, ChrisCrespo.com, and read about them. See if maybe it's they're up your alley, if they're more your speed. I also have a new review of Olympus Has Fallen, the new film with Gerard Butler, and the White House gets taken over by terrorists, and it's a ridiculous film. It's an action movie. Got my whole review up over there. And a G.I. Joe 2 review will be coming soon, so may even be up by the time you hear this, because this is a podcast. Also, at ChrisCrespo.com, book-to-film adaptations. I've written a few of these over the years. I've written about 8 of them, and I'm working on a new installment, a 9th one, and leading up to the release of the 9th installment, I'm rerunning the first 8. 1 through 4 have already been published on my website on a daily basis. Check them out. I got reviews, book-to-film, analysis, review of sorts of movies like No Country for Old Men and I Am Legend. So check it out. There's going to be new installments of those updated every day. And then, there's also Netflix Picks of the Week and back episodes of Cinema Crespodiso. I got my blog where I muse, I wax poetic about whatever's on my mind film-wise and maybe not film-wise. So check all that out. And you can also check us out on iTunes. Maybe that's how you are listening to us. Thank you very much for doing that. While you're there, you can subscribe to our show. Rate us 5 stars, because we are a 5-star show. And leave a nice review. Tell people why you think we're so great and they should listen to us. So there you go. Get us on Twitter. On Twitter, the show's at Crespodiso. Facebook.com/CinemaCrespodiso. We're on Instagram. Instagram.com/CinemaCrespodiso. Or, if you're using the mobile app, just search for Cinema Crespodiso. It'll pop up. So there you go. Thanks a lot, guys. We're going to return now to the rest of the show. I hope you enjoy it. And remember, we're all in this together. Welcome back to Cinema Crespodiso, the second half of the show. I am Chris. Drew is with me.
Yes, I am.
Thank you very much, Drew. Appreciate it. That was from one of our favorite movies, The Fountain.
Oh, such a good movie.
The name of that track is Death is the Road
to Awe.
To Awe.
And it is, my friend.
By Clint Mansell.
It is.
Probably the most epic track on the soundtrack.
The whole soundtrack's pretty freaking epic.
The whole thing's pretty epic, but it's the one song. It's like 8 minutes long, and it's a whole journey of a song, and it ends big, and it's a big and beautiful ending, just like the movie itself. Highly recommend that film, The Fountain. It was on the Netflix Instant for a while. I don't think it's on there currently.
Yeah.
But you never know. No, you
It'll
know.
Be back.
It'll be back.
It's on rotation.
It's worth seeking out.
Oh, definitely.
But we're back now, and let's jump right into the Crespo Dome.
Dun, dun, dun.
Because this is where things get exciting.
Oh, yeah.
This is where things get a little crazy. This is our special Crespodiso After Dark episode.
Nighttime edition.
We've been drinking, we've been thinking, and now we're ready to give you take 2. See, the first one was just a rehearsal.
Take 2. It's from round 2 of take 2.
Round 2, take 2. Action. Here we go. We're in the Crespo Dome, and let's start out with, real quick, Florida Film Festival is coming up. Florida Film Festival 2013.
Oh, yeah.
April 5th through the 14th. Definitely recommend checking out FloridaFilmFestival.com, looking at all the cool movies they have on there. There are a couple that I want to point out, a couple movies I'm really interested in. One is the Bad Brains documentary.
Oh, very nice.
That one looks really cool, and it's about the Bad Brains, the band. The Bad Brains are a hardcore punk band from the early 80s in Washington, D.C., and how they influenced the whole generation of musicians, and then they went to Jamaica and got in touch with their Rastafarian roots, and then came back and turned into a reggae band, and then they changed music that way for, a while and turned into the Soul Brains.
Oh, yeah.
epic band.
No, people don't know about Bad Brains. They need to find out about them.
Go ahead and Google real quick. Spotify. You know, get to work. Yeah. Bad Brains.
Start listening.
Or Soul Brains if you're more into the reggae stuff. This other movie called Mud, starring Matthew McConaughey. It's a Jeff Nichols movie. Jeff Nichols is the guy that did Take Shelter. Did you ever see Take Shelter, Drew?
Oh, yeah. With the crazy dude.
Yeah, guy going crazy.
Digging stuff in his backyard.
Right.
It rains oil.
Yes, it's raining oil on him. And he's having crazy dreams. Very, very well-made movie. That guy also made another movie called Shotgun Stories. That one's definitely on the Netflix. That one's a really good movie about a family blood feud. And this is his third movie, Mud. And it's, I don't know, this guy's a great filmmaker, so I'm really interested in seeing what he does next.
Yeah.
And it's super cool that that's at the Florida Film Festival. It's making its Florida premiere.
Awesome.
So those are two of the many, many movies that they're
hundreds of movies.
We'll be talking about the Florida Film Fest quite a bit over the next couple of episodes.
Oh, yes, we will. Got our press passes and everything.
Got our press passes. I'm hoping not the next episode, but the one we do for the film festival wrap-up. I pretty much it's all but confirmed. We're good to go. We're going to have a fellow film critic, a friend of ours, Aaron Weiss.
Very nice.
His website is cinemafunk.com, www.cinemafunk.com. He's going to be in town for the festival covering himself. So we're going to get him in the studio. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And then we can all talk about the festival and we can compare notes.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be really cool. So that's coming up. That's down the road. Let's see. We saw a whole bunch of movies this week.
That we did.
We saw Zero Dark Thirty.
Yes, we did.
Which my second time seeing it. Your first time.
My first cover on the red box.
So what did you think of the Zero Dark Thirty?
Osama.
Osama. It's so easy to catch him.
Say
his name and he pops out.
No, seriously, it's kind of the end of the movie. I think is the most ridiculous part. Spoiler alert: they kill Osama bin Laden.
Spoiler. People, big time spoiler alert there.
Big time spoiler alert that they kill Osama bin Laden.
They kill Osama bin Laden.
But it's really funny because they break into this dude's house and all these people are running for their lives.
And it takes like 20 minutes to get to him.
Running to safety, and all they have to do is whisper these people's names.
Osama.
Yeah. Like I'm running around afraid for my life. I hear some stranger whisper my name and I just come out like, hey, what's up? And get shot in the face.
Let me just poke my head out the door real quick.
And, watching the helicopter
crash, yeah.
And just kind of get left in this dude's front yard.
And then they had to blow it up when they left.
They had to explode it.
So like, we gotta get rid of this thing, man. These people are gonna take it apart and try to take our technology.
Reverse engineering.
It's a good movie. It's a procedural for sure. You know,
definitely.
It's going over the whole process, and it's a 10-year process, so it makes for a 2-hour, 40-minute movie.
Yes, it does.
Was it? Yeah, it's like 2:40. Yeah, it was a long movie.
It
was a long movie. That part, the end, the raid of the compound, that took like 20, 30 minutes itself.
Yeah,
just that one scene.
It was pretty long.
But it's epic.
Yes, it is.
Good stuff. So, how would you rate it? You ended up seeing it on Redbox.
Ended up seeing it on Redbox. I would have liked to have seen it in theaters.
You would have paid the theater price?
Yeah, definitely.
So, any other way, it's a deal. It's a deal. People, check it out. We also saw Killing Them Softly.
Yes, the new Artie Brad Pitt movie. The newest.
Yeah. The newest, the latest Artie Brad Pitt.
60 minutes of people talking in cars.
60 out of 90 minutes. Definitely people talking in cars, sitting in cars talking. My second time seeing it, your first time.
Yes.
I love it. I love this movie. And you enjoyed it? You seem to enjoy it.
Oh, 100%. It was very pretty.
Yeah.
Everything was kind of slow, but...
Takes its time.
But that was fine. I had no problem with that.
Yeah.
I liked the slow motion action scenes. Those were always fun.
When Brad Pitt's killing people softly?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's also that scene where Ray Liotta gets the shit beaten out of him.
Yep.
And then it's all like high frame photography, high speed photography. So you get all the crazy details, like the blood splattering in the water.
And it's raining outside.
Yeah, it's raining. Yeah, it's raining super, super heavy.
Yeah.
Very, very arty.
It was.
Very artistic.
But I like that about the movie. That's what I liked about it.
From the director of Chopper. And
great movie.
The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford.
Oh, okay. So I've seen... Now I've seen two out of these three movies.
Well, now you've seen all three of them.
I didn't see the Assassination of Jesse James.
You've never seen it? Ever?
Nope.
Really?
Really?
You've never sat down to watch Assassination of Jesse James by Coward Robert Ford?
Nope.
Wow. Well, that's something you need to do.
Yeah.
That's something you're going to have to do, buddy.
Agreed.
Because that's a... Oh, That's, oh, man. I don't want to get off on a tangent on that movie. That's a fantastic film. All right, well, Killing Them Softly. How would you rate that? Because I definitely
I would have liked
to have
seen it in theaters.
Another theater one for you? Yeah. There you go, people. Those are two great movies. They just came out on DVD recently. Killing Them Softly just came out this past week.
Yep.
So get out there. Check
get
it
out.
Out
there. See them. They're definitely worth your time.
I saw Wreck-It Ralph.
Very nice. I still haven't seen that.
It's good, man. It's, I recommend seeing that. That's something that I would have seen in theaters, or, you know, it's definitely perfect for families to go see in theaters. It's a great movie. All the stuff, because it's about video games, like video games coming, or the inner world of video games, so the characters are living in their own world. And so a lot of characters like Pac-Man, Qbert, Sonic the Hedgehog, they pop up.
The classics.
They've got the licenses to show these type of characters, but they don't do much. They don't really rely on them, which is a good thing. That
licensing is expensive.
It's very expensive, so they couldn't afford to do a lot of stuff with Sonic. So he only has like one or two things, you know. But the movie is all about the characters that they came up with, and they developed good characters between this Wreck-It Ralph and Sarah Silverman's character. Ooh, what's her name? Oh, I forgot her name. She's a pretty important character, though. Pretty important. It's good. It's all well done. It's a well-told story. They build the world really nicely, the world that they're living in and everything. And, you know, when it was all said and done, I was really, really impressed, actually. So
nice.
It surprised me. Disney's Wreck-It Ralph. Surprised the hell out of me. I would definitely recommend it.
Huh?
Yeah. To anyone that wants to see a good movie.
Well, one of these days I'll get around to seeing it.
Good. You'll enjoy it. When we saw G.I. Moving right along, when we saw G.I. Joe earlier today.
Uh-huh. Much earlier today.
Saw some new trailers.
Yes, we did.
The World War Z trailer, speaking of Brad Pitt.
Looks pretty crazy.
It looks pretty interesting.
Giant swarms of insect-like zombies just destroying everything in their path.
CG zombies. It's so 100%. CG, man. It turns me off, you know?
I'm sure it does. I get it. But it's not... hopefully we won't see these zombies up close ever. They'll just be a hoarding, rushing mass of...
Well, if they're ever up close, hopefully they won't be CG.
Yeah.
I guess they really don't show that many up close zombies in the
trailers.
They didn't
show any of them up close. All they show was just the swarms.
Interesting. Very interesting. I do like in the trailer how they show zombie outbreak on an airplane that's in mid-flight.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Well, that means these zombies turn quick.
Oh, very quick, yeah. Yeah, very quick. We'll see. I don't know. This is a movie where it was supposed to come out sometime last year, and it had a lot of problems, you know. They did some first they did some rewriting, then they did some reshoots, and I don't know, not a lot of hope there for it to be good.
Maybe.
The book is great.
How about this? Going in with low expectations, hopefully you will be pleasantly surprised.
I try to do it. Low bar. It's a low bar, guys. Just clear it. It's a very, very low bar, and I'll give you guys a pass. You know, the book, written by Max Brooks, Son of Mel, is an excellent, excellent book.
Son of Mel. That's so awesome.
It is pretty awesome. But it's different, though, because the whole book is like a retrospective of a war that already happened, and this movie is a narrative of it, of the events taking place. And
that's what the trailers.
Well, yeah. No, I think that's what it is, though. I don't think it's just mismarketing. I think the trailer is like showing you what's happening, which is it's a straightforward telling of some sort of zombie story, as opposed to the flashback narrative set up in the books. I don't know. We'll see how different it really is. White House Down. We saw a trailer for Roland Emmerich's White House Down.
Yes. So how is he going to blow up the White House this time?
From the inside, it looks like.
Sweet. Sweet.
From the director of 2012.
Independence Day.
The day after tomorrow, 10,000 BC. Man, I mean, what a bunch of...
Comes Channing Tatum
as John McClane.
John McClane.
Saving President Jamie Foxx from terrorists.
Barack Obama.
Who plays Barack Obama in the White House. Is he Barack Obama? I guess now if you're a black guy playing a president in a movie, you're playing Barack Obama.
Because, yeah, there's only been one.
Because there's only been one. Like the Highlander.
There can be only one. Man,
is Barack Obama the Highlander?
I think
Christopher Lambert might have something to say about that.
Yes, he might.
White House.
Maybe they're sword battling right now.
They could be. Who knows what happens in these late hours?
That would be a crazy quickening. One crazy quickening.
The Obama quickening. White House Down looks like a Die Hard ripoff. Again, it looks like a movie from the 90s.
That should be, yeah. Okay, so...
But this one would have been
starring...
So this is
the remake of the remake?
No, this one would have been when the original Olympus Has Fallen.
In 1993.
In 1991 would have come out. White House Down would have come out like 2 years later.
Okay.
With Michael Douglas as the president. This is pre-American president.
Gotcha.
Michael Douglas would have been the president and playing the John McClane role. Wesley Snipes.
Ah, they'd switch it.
And then they switch it because it's 2013. So now, Jamie Foxx the president and Channing Tatum will be the John McClane role.
In the remake.
Directed by... I can't get over that.
And
directed
who's the by bad guy, Network. Who's the bad guy going to be?
Who's the bad guy in the trailer?
Ooh, they didn't reveal
that.
They didn't
reveal that. They didn't show who was blowing everything up.
Nope.
I bet you it's North Koreans again.
No, man.
They're the villains du jour.
Yes, they are.
They're the villains in Red Dawn, the Red Dawn remake. They're the villains in the G.I. Joe movie we saw. They're the villains in Olympus Has Fallen. The North Koreans are just getting it everywhere.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, that's what happens when you're an evil isolationist country.
Yeah. And the only one left.
Yep.
The only one left. Gotta make something.
Even China's like, you guys are crazy.
Even China's like, guys, relax with those bombs. You're going nuts over there. And then we saw the trailer for Wolverine.
Ah, yes, the Wolverine.
That looks interesting.
It looks really good.
You're the comic book guy, so what are your first impressions of this trailer?
Well, in the trailer they did show the atom bomb dropping on Wolverine,
which is awesome.
Which is awesome because that's something new that only happened in the past couple years in a short miniseries called Logan.
So they're drawing from...
But they're drawing, obviously, from all sorts of sources. Basically, whatever Wolverine in Japan story they can get their hands on, it looks like they're pulling from.
Do you have any idea when was the first time Logan ended up in Japan in the comic books? So was that the 70s and the 80s, the 90s thing?
I would probably say my best guess, and this is a guess, probably the late 70s, early 80s.
Oh, that long ago. Yeah,
yeah, because that's basically when my comic book collection of Wolverine starts.
Yeah.
And in my collection, I have a lot of the stuff from when he's in Japan.
When he's called Patch for some reason.
Yeah, well, he only has one. He wears an eye patch back then.
Why?
I don't know.
Because he can regenerate easily and heal. That's the whole point of this Wolverine. The Wolverine movie is all about how he can't... Well, he's trying to be immortal. And maybe they can make him immortal.
Maybe I'm missing a large area of my Wolverine canon.
Huh.
But I mean, my Wolverine comic books start at issue, 70 or 80s.
Oh, yeah, you're missing a huge chunk. What's wrong with you?
I mean, most of the beginning, I know most of the beginning, is just him running around Canada. Being like, I'm confused. I don't know who I am.
So, you mean like the X-Men Origins Wolverine movie?
Because
that was him running around in Canada.
Yeah, basically.
Well, they shot it in Canada.
Yeah, basically. But you see, a lot of the Wolverine Origins, once again, as the Wolverine character has progressed, they've written his past.
They wrote backwards.
Well,
they came up with a character that couldn't remember his past, and they came up with it.
They have that luxury.
Yeah.
They come up
with the whole Weapon X thing.
Yeah, exactly. They write it as it goes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like Lost.
Exactly.
Right, you make it up as you go along.
Uh-huh.
Anyone can do this crap. I'm interested in it. It's from the writer of The Usual Suspects and the director of 310 to Yuma and Copland.
Anything's got to be better than the last.
Yeah, that last one's so bad.
That's why I want to see this movie.
Yeah.
Anything's got to be better than the last one.
Do you recall the release date? Was it July something, I think?
I think sometime this summer.
Sometime summer movie?
It's summer. It's one of those blockbusters.
So those are three summer movie trailers that we got to see today.
Yes.
That was pretty cool. That was definitely pretty cool. All right, well, we're doing great on time here. Let's look at, we got some questions.
We got some questions
for the Crespo Dome.
Our weekly questions.
We got one from Jen in Melbourne, Florida. Not to be confused with
Melbourne, Australia.
Right. Jen in Melbourne wants us to do the Crespo Dome game, which we did last week.
The Crespo Dome game.
That's when we take a couple of people, put them in the Crespo Dome, let them duke it out.
It's a battle, not a game.
The Crespo Dome battle. Doing battle this week in the Crespo Dome. Or Jen will like us to see this TV battle. Ryan Gosling versus Channing Tatum.
All right, well, let's start, I guess let's start acting.
Yeah, so we'll do it the same way we did it last week. We'll have them battle acting-wise, and they'll battle...
And then physically.
Physical battle. When it comes to acting, I've become a Channing Tatum fan lately, based on his work with Steven Soderbergh.
That's pretty much the only thing I've ever liked him in.
21 Jump Street?
Yeah, well, that too. I mean, once again... It's a comedy. If I don't take Channing Tatum very serious to start off with, yeah. It's easy to accept him in a comedy.
True. Well, I still think he's really good. It helped win me over on Channing Tatum. You know, I was like, I can watch this guy.
Yeah.
Well, he's entertaining.
He just started out as some douchebag.
Yeah, some douchebag who could dance. Yeah. In the Step Up to the Streets.
Sure.
I think. What was it in the first one?
The Streets.
What was on TV today?
Oh, Coach Carter.
Coach Carter. Yeah, he's in Coach Carter.
Yeah, he plays like some thuggish, ruggish white basketball player.
No, he didn't have the best movie choices early on in his career. But the stuff he's been doing lately has been good. Side Effects, he's really good in that.
Yep.
Magic Mike is really good in that. That's his baby. That's his whole thing. So, but then Ryan Gosling, though. The Drive.
Oh, I love
and
The Drive.
He was really good in Gangster Squad.
Yes, he was.
Oh, Police Beyond the Pines looks really good.
I haven't seen it yet.
What else has he done?
He did that Blue Valentine movie that I didn't see.
He's excellent in Blue Valentine.
The ladies love him from The Notebook.
The ladies do love The Notebook, don't they?
And that rom-com where he takes off his shirt.
Crazy Stupid Love?
Ooh, that sounds like the name of a movie.
With Steve Carell and... Julianne Moore, I want to say, and Emma
Stone.
Yeah. Definitely didn't see that one. Crazy Stupid Love. Yeah, that sounds about right. And he was also in Half Nelson.
He played
a crack addicted school teacher.
Yep, he was really good in that.
Lars and the Real Girl played a weirdo who walked around with a
sex doll that he was in love with.
I'm giving it to Gosling.
So am I. Only probably because of his choice of roles.
He's done weirder choices, weirder movies. He could easily go for like big budget, you know, mainstream mediocre movies based on just his good looks and everything. But he does weird stuff. I can respect that.
Mm-hmm.
I can respect that. So yeah, I'm going with Gosling on that one. Gosling.
Gosling, yes.
But when it comes to battle fighting,
Channing Tatum wins.
Channing Tatum was in a movie called Fighting.
Yes. He is a big dude.
And he's a bigger dude. I'm willing to bet that Channing Tatum did a little bit of fighting training for the movie called Fighting.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
Probably pretty good at it. And Gosling looks like he'd be pretty good at taking an ass with him.
Yeah.
Looks like he could take one pretty good. And then he'll talk really funny at the end of it. High voice talk, high pitch voice, or something like that. So, Tatum wins the battle.
Yeah, in physical fights.
So, Gosling, acting battle winner. Tatum, actual battle winner. Nice, that's a split.
There we go.
That's a split right
split
there.
Decision.
I got a question on Facebook.
Book Phases.
We are facebook.com/cinemacrespodiso. Got a question from Maddie J, our show engineer
and aerospace buddy.
Rocket scientist.
Yes, rocket scientist.
Our resident rocket scientist. We're going to have him on pretty soon again as a guest.
Of course.
Let's see. His question was, he wants us to talk about best zombie movies as a tribute to Zombie Jesus because it is Easter.
Ah, yes. Eat my flesh, drink my blood.
This show does not condone sacrilegious, but that's pretty funny.
It is sacrilegious.
Sacrilegious. Oh, so sacrilegious. Best zombie movies.
Best zombie movie. Okay, so we got
the originals.
Well, yeah. I mean,
Night of the Living
Dead.
The
original.
The original.
I mean, I've got a soft spot for Day of the Dead. Because it was filmed in Sarasota. Because where I'm from.
Yep.
So.
And yeah, all those George Romero movies. I mean, Land of the Dead. I like them all. The Day of the Dead remake? No, I mean the Dawn of the Dead remake with the Zack Snyder one Ben Reigns and Sarah Polley.
Yeah, that was good.
I really, really enjoyed that. Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead, always a good one. The classic rom-com with zombies.
And then is Zombieland the last good zombie?
You know what? 28 Days Later.
20 Days Later is not a zombie movie. It's not a zombie movie.
So they're infected. They're not. You're going. You're,
because they're
you're
not
going with that.
They don't die.
Because they're not undead. They're infected.
They're not dead. What's a zombie?
See, I understand.
What's a zombie?
I get it.
Zombies are undead.
I get it.
In 28 days later, they don't die.
I get it.
They're hungry. They're filled with rage. And then they die at the end. They starve to death. And then they don't come back. So it's different. No, it's not. It's different. It's different, I tell you. It doesn't count. Even then, it's like O2. The question was, is Zombieland the last good zombie movie?
Oh, well,
which
yes.
was like from 09?
Yes.
2010?
I'm going to say yes.
It's been a few years.
I'm trying to think of a decent zombie movie that's come out since then.
Right. There are none. And World War Z, honestly, I don't think it looks like it's going to be the next good movie.
It has potential. How about that?
Everyone's putting their eggs in that Walking Dead basket. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, well, Walking Dead's television, and it's nowhere near as good as comics. So.
This is not television, Chris Padisa.
No.
But I am really looking forward to Game of Thrones.
Oh, so am I.
Okay, and let me just log in here to the old email.
The Gmail.
Because.
The Gmail.
We got our weekly question from.
Billy D.
Good old Billy D. 12 episodes.
12 questions.
12 questions. Billy's going to want to save all these questions, and then, like, after 100 episodes, he can make a coffee table book or something. Questions from Billy D, and be a bunch of graphic designs there, and every page is a different question with our answers. Billy D says, how awesome is the Red Band trailer for Michael Awesome Bay's Pain and Gain? I thought it was awesome, but it was especially awesome when the trailer told me how awesome it was. I'm going to see the awesome out of this movie. Awesome, Billy D.
So awesome. We should have really watched this trailer, especially knowing that we had this question coming for second round.
I forgot the question. I totally forgot about the question. I forgot the other question involved watching the trailer.
Yeah.
So for the second time, we forgot we didn't watch the trailer.
We did not watch the trailer.
But we know what Pain and Gain is.
Yes, we do. And if there's a Red Band trailer, it sounds pretty awesome.
And I don't need to see a Red Band trailer, Pain and Gain, to want to go see this movie. I'm sold already.
No, exactly. Tony Shalhoub as some aging fitness douchebag.
Mark Wahlberg and The Rock and Anthony Mackie kidnapped.
Exactly.
And then take all his money.
And insanity ensues.
And then Ed Harris has to go to work.
Yep.
Ed Harris, man.
Fuck yeah.
Badass dude.
Ed Harris is awesome.
This is Michael Bay's version of a small movie.
Michael Bay can't do anything small.
He can't do anything small. Even something like this, it's huge and bombastic and slow motion, and things are popping off crazy here and there, and there's going to be a car chase for sure.
Oh, definitely. At least one.
I can't. This is going to be a fun movie.
Michael Bay. It's always fun.
And that makes... This will be Rock movie number 3 of 4 for 2013. Because it was Snitch, and then the G.I. Joe, and then Pain and Gain.
And Fast and Furious.
And the Fast and the Furious. Forgot to mention. Mentioned this earlier, but then forgot to mention it this time. The Rock wears the same Under Armour shirt in G.I. Joe that he's wearing in the Fast and Furious 6 trailer.
Oh, and speaking of G.I. Joe,
exact same shirt.
How much money did G.I. Joe make this week again?
Oh, that's right, because we talked about that last week. G.I. Joe made $40 million.
And I'm pretty sure we had a gentleman's bet with Mr.
When Matt was on the show, yeah. But when Matt was on the show last week, episode 11, I thought G.I. Joe was going to make $80 million.
I thought it was going to make $60.
And, which is more reasonable than $80 now, in hindsight. And Cabin Boy, Matt, said it would make $40 million.
And it
hit $41 million, right?
Exactly. Guess who wins that one?
He nailed it. So all credit to you goes
yes,
to
sir.
Matt. Goes to, you can check him out on Twitter, at MattIsCabin. Tell him, tweet him. Tell him, good job. Good job. You heard how good he did in the Crespo Dome. Thanks for reminding me on that one, Drew. I didn't want to let that one go. Pain in the Gain. I'm really looking forward to it. The Rock. The Rock is awesome. He's wearing the same Under Armour shirt in every movie now, but whatever. Yep. It's cool. The Under Armour's giving him some money under the table.
I was about to say. And some good Under Armour money.
Got that Under Armour under table money.
Whoa, it's a lot of unders.
Yeah.
Some underhanded Under Armour under table
that
money.
It is underhanded. It is underhanded under table under Armour. All right, well, that brings us to the end of the Crespo Dome. Those are our questions. There's no guests, no lightning round, and no swag bags to give out. But we'll probably have guests next week. So.
Oh, I'm sure.
All right, well, that was Crespo Diso After Dark, right?
Episode 12.
Episode 12.
0.5.
Yeah, right? Well, no one ever here the first 12.
Episode 12.1, maybe?
12.12 beta.
Episode 12 beta.
Episode 12 beta. You never hear the first one. It's in the ether. It's gone forever. There was some good stuff in that one.
It was pretty good.
But this one was pretty good.
I enjoyed, yeah.
This one had a little more low key feel.
Yeah.
But I kind of dug it. Maybe we should record all our shows. I like super late.
I'm not going to lie. I enjoyed the running joke from the first one.
Yep. Well, no one ever know what that joke is. And now that's a new joke about how you'll never hear about the old joke.
Yep.
So that's the end of episode 12. Drew, thank you very much.
You're very welcome, sir.
I am your host, Christopher Crespo. We'll be back next week for episode 13. So this was Cinema Crespo Diso, and we'll see you soon. Bye.